and Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
In for another podcast to end the week.
Woohoo! Happy Friday.
Yes, enjoy it. We haven't had a short week this week. A little bit of a different podcast for you today.
We're going to go in depth in regards to a genre that we enjoy on this station.
Well,
country
yeah,
music.
Fairly. Well, it's different.
It's different, but I think it lends itself to, you know, what's happening in 2023.
I think obviously the complete reason why we've been obsessed with it in 2023 with country. And especially of late, we've been very excited, of course, to be on board with Ride and Hearts, which hits Melbourne Showgrounds November 5, Jules. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now. You can catch Aussie lads, Zach and George, as well as Seaforth. They're coming back down under for a little bit of a homecoming. Many more artists in there as well. Bailey Zimmerman, as well as this lady on the line with us right now from, I think she's in Texas right now, but Danielle Bradbury, hello.
Hi.
Whereabouts are you now in the world?
I'm actually in Nashville right now.
Okay.
I just came from Texas, though.
All right.
But yeah, I'm in Nashville.
We're incredible.
Good to have the international flair. And look, listeners of our show would know that, look, country is a fairly new thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you're from the world, so nothing new to you there. But that being said, and you've obviously been in it for a while now, of course, but does it feel like the rest of the world is just starting to get incredibly excited about country? Because I feel like I went for a long time without really hearing it too much in it day to day. But now we're playing it here on what is an R&B station. It's in my Spotify playlist. It's everywhere. Are you feeling a lot more love for country?
There definitely is this new wave of it. Country's the hot new thing now.
Yeah.
because I feel like country is not just country anymore. Mm. It is becoming such a more broad genre, and there's so many features with other, you know, non-country artists and covers of songs that aren't country at all, sang by country artists. There's just so much overlap that's going on, and that helps kind of just spread out a little. And I love it. I grew up listening to R&B music, Latin music, all of that stuff. And it's kind of, you know, sprinkling into my new music, and I'm super excited about it. But so I feel good right here.
Absolutely. All right. You're very much at home.
Danielle, you've been doing this for 10 plus years. I mean, you first were launched into the music world through The Voice US, being the youngest to win the show. Incredible at 16 years old. How have you seen country evolve throughout that time? You know, you were auditioning with Taylor Swift, traditionally, you know, the country blending into that pop. Is that sort of the space that you were thinking, oh yeah, this can blend into different genres?
Yeah, I, you know, being on the show, I was only 16 years old. I was a baby, and the songs that I was singing were very traditional. And, you know, I was on Team Blake Shelton, and just, it was the perfect, you know, leeway to push me into the music industry. And being so young, it was very innocent and just, you know, perfect timing. And as I've grown up and have now, I'm 27, I'm tapping more into things that I actually, you know, grew up listening to. And, you know, for the show, it was very specific, and it was just right for what was going on then. But now I'm, you know more about myself and have learned a lot, have gone through a little more life, and I've, you know, been able to sprinkle in more of like my actual influences that I have grown up with, and it's been super fun.
I think a lot of Australia, Victorians and people in Melbourne are going to be very excited to see you take to the stage at Ride and Hearts. You've got 3 albums, you got plenty of singles, millions of streams. They're all stoked. And as we've been getting excited for it, like, I know I've got my Ride and Hearts playlist that I've been listening to. And I think country almost feels unique in the way that, compared to some of the music where we play here on the station, where you're covering off on so much, like lyrically and just in the songs. Like, I mean, you're talking about like Lost Love, like in terms of latest single, The Day That I'm Over You, that's out there, and talk about struggles with anxiety. Is it incredibly exhausting just performing and revisiting these feelings all the time? Because like I was listening at the gym yesterday to it, and I go, I'm feeling stuff that I didn't think I had felt for a while, and I'm just a dude in the gym. Like, that's got to be so taxing on you.
That's, you know, I haven't gotten that question yet, because that is, but that's the most common feeling I feel singing those songs. I'm like, I don't think people realize how much it does take out of you to relive those emotions over and over again. And you get off stage and you're like, God, like, ugh, I'm sad now.
You just need a big old nap or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very, it's not really like country rock and roll or any of that to sort of just take five and be like, guys, it's going to call mom and just have a quick vent and move on with it. Do you though, because you do live through all these things that I guess are going to be, they go on to become, you know, really important in writing music. When you experience, whether it is low level trauma or maybe it's like a breakup or maybe you lose a member of the family, we do this in radio in a bit and with comedy where we go, we experience something and we go, well, this is great because I'm going to be able to talk about this and I'm going to, you know,
it might suck at the time though.
Yeah. But do you go on a bad date and go, well, this guy sucked, but you know, all of a sudden I'm going to have a great single off the back of it. Do you view life that way a little bit?
I have started to. I realized I went through a really bad breakup and that's when I got my second album, I Don't Believe We've Met. And it was probably one of my first group of like real favorite songs. And they were all very emotional and just a roller coaster ride of emotions. And then after that, I, you know, took a little bit of time. I, you know, got better. I found somebody new. I was so madly in love with him and I was so happy. And then it came time to start, you know, making music again. I'm like, I'm happy. I don't know what, else to write
what
about.
Do I do?
Well,
funny?
We hope we get you in a happy mood, I think, when we see you down here. November 5, of course, you can get your tickets at ridinghearts.com. We want to make sure we're all out there with a bunch of artists. It's incredibly exciting. It must be right to be visiting all these country artists and all hanging out in one spot.
Yeah. Danielle, we're curious to know because you imagine with the festivals, the lineups, the stereotypes, you've got your rock musicians behind the scenes. They're all catching up. It seems kind of hardcore. That's the vibe that they're going for, right? What's the stereotype in the country scene? Is there an equivalent? What happens backstage at country festivals?
Oh, man.
That you can say, I suppose.
Yeah.
It kind of depends on who you're with, who you're, you know, playing a show with that day or what the vibe is. But, you know, we think of a lot of things. Like I just did a tour where they played pickleball like every day.
Great.
They're just, you know, that's one way to stay active. Everybody will play beer pong or we're doing some type of activity until cornhole or anything like that to keep us occupied until, you know, we play the show. And then we continue that after we play the show.
is beer pong conducive? Does it help put on a good show or is that going to inhibit? Is that a like how I've done my set sort of situation?
That's more of I done my set type of situation. I mean, there is some drinking before we go on stage, beer pong is more of like, you know, we just played the show, so let's all hang out.
Yeah,
so.
I like that.
And you can go and hang out with Danielle amongst many other artists. We've got Bailey Zimmerman, Zach and George, Seaforth, Matt Schuster, many more at Ridenhearts Festival. It lands at Melbourne Showgrounds November 5. Tickets are on sale right now at ridenhearts.com. Get yours. I know I've got mine. Danielle, thank you so much for your time this morning. We are so excited to see you in a couple of weeks.
Me too. Thank you, guys.
131060, that is the call you need to make right now to let us know if you've been eating something incorrectly.
Apparently, the Victorian snot block, the vanilla slice that we all love across bakeries in our state, we've been eating it wrong. Instead of cutting down in the middle, top down like a cake, we have to move it to the side, sideways, and cut through the custard like that.
Yes, cut through the spine of it, sort of right along the rib cage of a vanilla slice. I've been eating it wrong.
Yep, me too.
But, you know, sometimes most food doesn't actually come with instructions.
No, but there's certain ways that is socially acceptable to eat food. So what are you eating wrong?
Yeah, let's go to the phones right now. Up to the border, we've got Jack who's given us a buzz. Mate, what are you eating wrong?
I've been eating your pie all wrong all my life, guys, and I think you're going to really kill me when I tell you what I do.
Oh, meat pie. Okay, you know, I've heard some crazies out there.
For a staple, it's hard to imagine a really, really wrong way. So let's hear it, Jack.
Okay, so I take the lid off, or the hat, as I call it. Take the hat off, and then I eat the guts out of it.
With a spoon?
And then have the bowl.
So you've also gone for the deconstructed pie.
It's just easier. It goes all over yourself if you It's easier. I'm sorry, Jules.
When you're at the footy, you've got to have an extra hand to hold the lid. Then you have another hand to scoop it.
Aside from adding more layers to it unnecessarily, Jack, what I take issue is I'm worried for your safety because you've gone for the hottest part of the pie first.
This is why you put tomato sauce in there to really cool down the meat and mix it through.
I missed that step.
Five hands to do this. I'm blown away by this situation.
And so you're aware that this is the wrong, quote-unquote, thing to do, right?
I'm aware, and I'm also aware I'm un-Australian for doing it that way as well.
Oh, good.
At least you're aware. We're on the same page, Jack. Thanks for the call, mate.
Pleasure.
Out to Faraday right now. We've got Andrew. Mate, what are you eating wrong?
Yeah, I've got a story about a pie as well.
Oh, no.
Sorry. I met this bloke in grade 3. I moved over from Cobden to Castlemaine and used to play footy together at lunchtime. Went home that night and after school. And he said, "Do you want a pie?" I said, "Yeah, mate, I'll have a pie." He cooks us a pie and puts it on a plate and starts eating it. And I'm looking at him, "What are you doing?"
What'd he do? Yeah. What
How's he eating it, Andrew?
Same thing. He lifted the lid off, but he ate the lid. And then he slowly started peeling the sides of the pie off and eating the pastry. And then he'd flip the whole pie over and then peel the bottom off and then eat that and then just scoop all the meat in the middle and leave it there. And I said, "So what are you doing with the meat?" He goes, "That goes in the bin, mate."
Oh, no.
I just love the pastry.
Toddlers would have made less of a mess with that. Oh, my God.
Absolute weirdo. Andrew.
Insane.
I hope you're not friends with this bloke anymore. Out to How Long right now. We've got Abby who's giving us a buzz as well. Abby, what food, first of all, are you eating incorrectly?
Good morning. I have always eaten Big Macs incorrectly, allegedly.
There's only one way to eat it.
It's just you're putting your hands in it. It's such a straightforward thing. You don't even need to assemble it. What are you doing wrong?
Yeah, no, they would think that. Well, first I take the top part off.
No!
Take that off. Then I will peel the middle layer out that's got the lettuce, the cheese, the sauce, and the pickles.
What?
I will sandwich the two meat patties together. Okay. I'll eat the pickles and the top bun together because the top bun's a shit bit. And then the meat and the cheese and the sauce together as a burger, and it is delicious. I think I've done that for about 18 years. I'm now 26, and I've done that for a very long time.
Abby.
You've seen the Big Mac, and you go, it's one big burger or several mini burgers.
Yeah, that's it. And my friends have always commented on how I eat my Big Mac, and I've never eaten it or changed it any other way of how I've eaten it.
You're like the reverse of an IKEA flat pack.
The more steps the better. If you're in a rush, Abby, because Macca's is fast food, like would you still do this, or is this the only way in your eyes?
No, it is the only way. That is it. There's no other way to do it. That is it.
Just order it deconstructed next time. Save yourself the hassle.
You should get a job at Macca's. You'd bloody love it back there. All the parts come separately as it is.
That's it.
Nick, I'm here to help you out. Help you out. Help anyone out that might be struggling a little bit with their sleep. And particularly needing to go to the toilet while they're asleep.
Well, I mean, I don't get the best night's sleep at the best of times. It is largely... because I have broken sleep because I hydrate too much. So
yes.
I pay a ridiculous amount.
You might fall into this bracket. A urologist has weighed in on those common bedtime disturbances needing to pee, technically called nocturia. Nocturia. Didn't know there was a technical term for it.
I call it a night whiz. Yeah.
I like that better. It typically affects more than 30 million men across the world. Over 50 more traditionally.
Yeah,
but
I understand there's a reason why a lot of those guys get affected. It's not that for me, everyone. It's too much water.
Changes in your body as you age, rah, yah, yah. And just essentially, everyone wants to stop that pressure on their bladder to make sure they have a great night's sleep. So Dr. Ted in Chicago, he's brought in his advice. And I was like, here we go. We're going to change lives of Victorians around the state. And his groundbreaking advice, he's broken it up into 3 points. First of all.
Number one.
Stop drinking water before bed.
All right, mate. Don't tell me what to do.
Wow.
Literally piss off.
He went. Please, piss off before you go to bed. That is groundbreaking of him to not hydrate before you go to bed.
I drank a liter of water as I was like lying down last night.
Oh, wow. Did you have to go to the toilet?
You better believe I was peeing all night long.
Well.
Get you a man that can go all night long.
Did you take his... Second piece of advice.
Number two.
Stop drinking alcohol before bed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't drink alcohol. It wasn't a liter of Jack Daniels. You know? It was water.
Wow, this guy, he went to medical school for this long to find out this information that we probably all knew?
Well, you shouldn't drink, I guess technically speaking, probably shouldn't drink alcohol that much anyway. But yeah, but right before you knock off, no one's doing a shot then taking the eye mask.
Off we go.
Yeah.
But his final point.
Number three.
The groundbreaking advice. Wear knee-high stockings to bed.
Oh. Knee-high stockings.
I don't know if that's his personal preference for how you should be sleeping or it's to do with fluid retention.
It's more of a style thing than anything, isn't it?
But what a man. Dr. Ted over in Chicago. He's told us to stop drinking water, stop drinking alcohol, change our fashion decisions.
I'm going to go to Victoria's Secret this afternoon. And I'm going to get, he doesn't say what kind of stocking. If I'm going to wear them, they've got to look good. And so if someone broke into my house in the middle of the night.
I better be ready.
Yeah, I'm going to be covered in piss and wearing stockings. And they're going to be like, all right, I'm going to go to another house. Not quite the news bulletin. I use my journalism degree to bring to you some headlines, some stories heading into the weekend that I think are important enough that you need to know about them, but that the regular news might not cover off on.
You're doing a service.
Thank you very much. First story for today. Mark can get zucked. I ain't paying for that. Meta, as in Facebook and the like, they are looking to start charging European users for their ad-free experience on Facebook.
Ugh. Right.
It's going to roughly work out to be about $21.50 Australian a month for European users if you don't want to see any ads on the platform.
Gross.
That extends to like Meta's whole host of apps, which obviously includes Instagram as well.
Okay. They're just trying to find a way to make a buck, aren't they?
Exactly. Well, yeah, $21.50 a month, actually, specifically.
Does that mean it's going to come to Australia?
They're looking to see just how much users actually do decide to take that up in Europe before they decide if they're going to roll it out in other aspects, other continents across the world. So far, there's not really that much of a cry for people actually wanting to do it. The proposition for this actually comes off the back of a ruling by the European Court of Justice stating that under the new data protection regulations through Europe that people don't have to be shown ads if they don't want to be shown ads and data collection. And so they're like, all right, well, this is what our answer to that is, and it's going to cost you.
But it's kind of fun when you're like, oh, does Facebook or Instagram really know who I am? Targeted ad. Yes, that's perfect.
Yeah. And so they might, or they might not actually, if you decide you want to get the paid platform and not have to do anything with ads. Moving on, we are going to be seeing a strike this Saturday in large numbers. Coles and Woolworths workers are set to walk off a job this Saturday. So just make sure you plan your groceries accordingly.
Does that mean we can't shop?
So between the hours of 10 and 12,
yep,
that's when they're going to be walking out. So between those hours, you might be impacted. And here's the thing, between store to store and whereabouts they are in the country,
yep,
is no one's actually sure how many people are striking. So the unions between, for the Retail and Fast Food Workers Union are saying that some stores could have one or two people walking out.
Ah.
Others could have hundreds walking out.
Wow.
There isn't a specific number per store. So it's just something to be wary of as you start to do your groceries this weekend if you are someone that shops at Coles or Woolworths.
Why are they striking, do we know?
Because they are not stoked about how much they are getting paid at the end of the day, because both those companies in the last year have recorded record profits.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, well, you know, we put up with a lot of crap from a lot of people who stop at these stores.
The pandemic, of course.
We should be getting paid a little bit better. Someone who gets paid really well for doing not a heck of a lot, though, that would be the King. So to round things out, first look at the King.
Charles.
On your cha-ching. King Charles III. The third. He's been king for a little while now, well over a year, but...
Wow, time flies.
Doesn't it, when we're having fun? Isn't he such a great king? We bloody love him. Yesterday, the Royal Australian Mint did a reveal of the new $1 coin, and obviously, you know, it used to be the poster child, used to be the queen.
Yes.
Used to see her profile, and we used to think, wow, what a temple.
Now we get to see Charles and his big ears, I suppose.
His big ears. Well, I'm looking at a picture of it now. It's a mostly flattering photo. I would say that the ears probably only take up 40% of the coin.
I'm sure he has it approved.
He did. It had to be specifically designed by a guy, a man named Dan Thorne from the Royal Mint in the UK, and the king had to have a look at it and go, thumbs up, thumbs down. So the coin is looking to be rolled out in the coming months. They reckon it's probably most likely going to be seen around December by the time it's been spread out into the economy.
Oh, a little Christmas present for us.
If that's,
from the monarchy.
Honestly, if that's what it takes to get you excited for Christmas, then that's great news. That's coming your way. There you have it. That's not quite the news bulletin. Zuckerberg trying to earn a buck. The king on a buck. And Coles and Woolworths workers wanting more than just one buck. This is going to sound outrageous, Jules, and I understand that. But a woman has married a Victorian man.
Yep.
They have since divorced.
Oh, sad.
The Victorian man is now stalking her.
Oh, no.
But I think it's her fault.
What?
Now, I don't want to.
How?
I don't want to victim blame here by any sense of the word. But I just got to say that this has possibly been the most misleading sentence I've ever said in my life.
Right. Here we go.
This woman in question, her name is Brocard. She's a gothic singer and songwriter.
Ooh.
And she looks exactly like you'd expect. She kind of looks like a vampire.
Like sort of coming out of Evanescence film clips or something.
Arguably,
like that.
Arguably, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Very dark hair, very pale skin, bright red lips. She's been drinking blood. In the summer of 2020, she fell in love with Eduardo, the Victorian man, Eduardo.
Edward Cullen, yes.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. So Eduardo's, I mean, it might be.
Sorry, I'll focus.
Sorry, I mean, everyone focus, please. Because the thing about Eduardo is to say he's a Victorian man is generous in the sense that Eduardo is actually the ghost of a Victorian soldier.
What?
Eduardo's no man. Eduardo's a ghost.
Oh, how can you marry a ghost?
Well, I don't know. This woman. She's this.
She found a way.
She's an English singer, and she married a ghost in 2021 after you know, professing their love to one another.
He didn't say much back.
But like, after an alleged rocky marriage with cheating allegations from him, apparently the ghost cheated on her.
What? With another ghost?
Jules, I don't know. You'd have to ask this lady. This lady.
And so sounds insane.
She's since divorced him, which in the ghost world apparently is. An exorcism. It's an exorcism.
No. So she married this ghost. Yes. Was there church proceedings? Like, what, did anyone see the ghost? And she has to go and file for divorce. I've got too many questions.
Well, they've gotten married. I don't know if it was a church wedding, but then they moved on to, of course, the exorcism. Which is really unfortunate. But here's the thing. He can't let go. He's been stalking. I said stalking. She keeps using the term haunting and says, I can't move on. I can't. And she goes, I want to date real men now.
Moved on for the ghost.
Imagine, you know, a lot of guys complain about not being able to find someone in life. Mm. But imagine if that's just the bar.
Man, if you sit down for the first date.
Just, you know, she's just like, I don't know if you're real. So that's poking you in the chest. Oh, he's real. Do I have to worry about any of your exes? Not really. Some. Mm-hmm. One. What, there's one in particular. His name's Eduardo.
Mm-hmm. He's 1,000 years old.
He's a ghost. So this woman is single, by the way, for any guys out there who are looking for love right now. So all you got to do is just be, you know, aware that she's a little bit crazy. But, I mean, if you're into the look of a gothic singer, she's ready for it.
Nick and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast.